Hey Fixers, I'm Dr. Jeanette Benegas, one of the co-founders of FixSLP. Our platform exists to discuss the biggest challenges that are currently holding back the field of speech-language pathology. We present the issues with facts and invite you to be a part of joining this movement to make things better one conversation at a time. So let's fix SLP. Hey, everybody, welcome back. This is Jeanette. Today, I do not have a co-host. Preston was not allowed to come on today because I am fangirling over Kevin Simmons. He is the singing SLP on Instagram. I'm so excited to have him. We're going to hear all about him today. And he's not exactly fixing SLP, but he is making a huge difference for kiddos that he sees. Before I start talking to him, I want to read a review. So if you haven't yet, give us a 5-star rating and review. This is one of the latest. It says, a must listen for all SLPs. Thank you, FixSLP, for all your advocacy and research. Thanks for laying all the groundwork so that we can fight for what is right. Listening to this podcast has empowered me to get more involved with my state association. That's where the advocacy and change happens. I love that. Because the states are where it's at for sure. So thanks to the person who sent that in. The name is E-G-L-Y-D-A. I'm not even going to pretend like that's a first name. So thank you to that person for coming in with a 5-star rating and review. And Kevin, after you put yours in, I'll go ahead and read that.
Good. All right.
Thank you so much for coming on. Yes. This is so
cool. Yes. You know how I feel about your work. I'm honored myself to be in your presence. So,
oh please, I'm a hot mess. Then let's jump in because I want to know. I don't know. Again, I don't. All I know is what you put on Instagram. So, yeah. How long have you been practicing? Don't even tell me a year. Don't be like I just started my CF.
No, I would say I graduated. So it's been 2 years.
So you are a little baby.
Yeah. CF finished last year. And then, I've been independent for about 7 or 8 months.
All right. So you're close enough. Where'd you go to grad school? Shout them out. Unless you didn't like them, then don't shout them out.
No, I did. Radford University. Okay. The Highlander.
Okay. So where do you live?
Atlanta, Georgia.
I knew that. Born and raised. So not everybody might not know that. Okay, so you're in Atlanta, just a little baby SLP. How did you start this platform?
Yeah. So this was actually pretty cool. Back in Radford, Highlanders, I was doing a reading group with adults, actually. So this is right up the alley. And I miss my adults. I miss, working with aphasia, the executive function. We were doing a reading and language group, and for introductions, it was 7 or 8 adults. And so just imagine, newbie SLP, almost getting ready to go into the workforce. I love to entertain people. So I was get my classmates moving, grooving, let's play Michael Jackson and let's dance it out. So they did their introductions and they were like, I'm blah, 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 SLP grad student. I'm blah, 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 SLP grad student. And it came to me and I'm like, I'm Kevin, an SLP grad student. I love music. I love Justin Bieber, but of course, most of the adults didn't know. So I was like, well, let me switch to MJ and play the song, dance my heart out. Everyone was looking at me. And and some of the adults were like, wow. And I heard murmurs. They're like, man, you can sing. I mean, not really, but they were like, you should be the singing SLP. And I was like, oh, that kind of clicks. Then a second time around, I was one-on-one with an adult with Broca's aphasia. We were at the end of the session and I was like, all right, we worked so hard. I see you have Frank Sinatra up there. I love music. Do you know his song, L is for the Way? And we just started singing and she was fluent, as you know, and it was super cool to watch that. And my supervisor at the time, shout out Terry Sheeler, the GOAT, she had mentioned Kev, you gotta be the singing SLP, ha ha ha. I think it was at that moment, I was like, well, I have my own personal Instagram page. why don't I just like, you know, put out resources here and there? So like I remember starting it the summer of 2021 and just kind of going from there. But it really didn't kick off until I was like, I wanted to do something totally different than what other people were doing, because our field has so many great resources. And that's not to knock off anyone. I mean, I love the resources, but I wanted to be different. Like I wanted to stand out in a sense. And I was like, all right, I know I don't have the great voice, but I do love to entertain. So why don't I write up song lyrics and do what I did in grad school, where, you know, for the cranial nerves, you know, I made a song based on the cranial nerves and that helped me study. So I was like, why don't I provide these resources for students that, like, I know there are visual learners, but there are a select few like me that I can do music and study. And so like after that, it just kind of blended into this whole thing of pediatric songs, songs for articulation. I have a lot of songs. I'm really excited. I've been writing. So yeah, that's how it blew up into the singing SLP.
It's amazing. So if you love to entertain, do you have an entertainment background? Did you do theater or musical theater, church choir? Yeah. What have you done?
No, that's a great question. I played the drums, but I didn't have any theater or voice lessons. I think where the music and entertainment part comes from is I always like making beats. And so that's why I played the drums. I played the saxophone. Should have stuck with it because, I mean, the sax, you can pick up all the ladies. Do, 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 do. But anyway. So I think that's where it came about. But at a young age, my sister and I, we would always act out Disney movies and pretend that we were actors and actresses. So I think that's where the drama comes from. And I just love making people laugh. Yeah. Jim Carrey and Robin Williams are one of my favorite comedians and actors. So when I say I get weird sometimes in the gym, the kids look at me and they're like, okay, bro,
you're
yeah. weird. Yeah, yeah. Who are you? So yeah, I just like being that type of weird and funny. So I think that's where it's come about. But it's so fun for me.
If you were like, listen, I grew up singing gospel in my church, I was going to make you sing, but now I won't.
Oh, no, but, no. I mean, I can sing, but it won't sound good.
No. Little known fact. I was a theater minor as an undergrad. So
really?
I love some entertaining in my life. Yeah, I dropped that because when I realized it was going to keep me in school an entire extra year, and there was like nothing I was ever going to do with it, I was like, I'm out. So
that's so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Theater minor, gone. So you also do this. Well, I want to back up. So your lady with Broca's aphasia, she was non-fluent before she started singing. I'm assuming
she
like
would,
out of our
yes,
time communicating. And then she just sang that song like it was nobody's business. It
had been a while since she had heard those lyrics, but still, you think about, I love, again, we can talk about the music integration piece later on, but the music integration piece with the right hemisphere, it just like picked up for her. She remembered the melody and she was like, L is for.
It's amazing. Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. Right. Even so. I've done some dementia things in this profession. When I've sung with people with dementia, you know, music therapy is a whole thing. They can go from being almost nonverbal to singing you an entire song. And
no,
and those
I love
old
that.
Women, those old women, I feel like there's a church on every corner here. So you're getting these ladies in nursing homes who have been going to church their whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll bust out those hymns like it's nobody's business. And my dad was a pastor, so I know all the hymns. I know all the hymns. We can sing the hymns at the nursing home. But it's amazing to see someone who's non-fluent or not talking, not verbal, and then just like sing.
Recall, from years
it's
past.
It's like magic. No, it's like magic.
I know, right? I'm
so
you.
Good. Okay. So
I've
then,
never met anyone that hasn't liked music. But sorry, that was the only thing I had to say. Like,
people are probably sitting at home wondering, why is he on other than the fact that she's in love with him? And so, Fix SLP, we're fighting about Asia and the CCC and all these things. But to me, this platform is also about elevating people who find something that needs fixed and not necessarily fixed, but something that needs improved and who are like doing the thing. And even though I love your platform, the main reason I asked you to do this is because you are a sensory barber. And I'm obsessed with that. I didn't even know there was a thing, but I can't listen. I have a typically developing, like neurotypical 5.5-year-old who, until maybe 6 months ago, would scream like a banshee at the barber or the hairdresser. And there's
Wow.
nothing even sensory or no issues with him. So I
Yeah.
like started thinking, man, like I could see a huge need for this. I get this. That's an issue that you're addressing. I'm not fixing because it doesn't really need fixed, but you're addressing it and you're helping
Right.
these poor parents who just want their kids to have a haircut and you feel better after you have good hair. I
Yeah,
want to know
oh
all the
yeah.
things about this. What is it?
Yeah,
How did you get
sure.
involved? I want to know the thing.
Yes, almost on the same timeline of creating the Instagram page, I started my CF. So I would post pictures here and there of like baby development, but I wasn't in the groove. So with the music and the sensory haircuts, it started to pick up right around the middle of my CF. And I had this parent, she was in the room doing parent coaching, and she was just talking aloud. She was like, "Man, I really wish I had someone to cut his hair. It's getting so long." And rewind a couple years back, I cut my own hair just because I went to Great Clips one time. And for any listener out there, black, white, Indian, doesn't matter. You know what a fade is. And if you don't know, a fade is just a way to blend the hair to make it look like it's blended. And so I asked for a fade, and lady just, I mean, she said she could do it, and she just made a line straight across. And so I had to wear that haircut for weeks at school, and it was just so embarrassing. So I remember that day, I was like, you know what? I'm gonna look up on YouTube how to cut hair. So I've been cutting my own hair for a while. And so I was like, just talking to the parent, I was like, well, maybe I could try it out. What difficulties does he have? She started listening. As a CF and a barber that has only cut my cousin's hair and myself, I was like, oh, okay, that's a lot. But still, I was like, well, if anything, I know him. Let's just try it out. Let's just see what happens. The typical time it takes for them to get a haircut, she told me, you know, it was a whole family affair. His brother and sister would be like, oh, do we really have to do haircut day? It would be like a 3 or 4 hour endeavor. We got into it, and the mom was there, and the OT, I was at a clinic which helped support me with occupational therapists that would help regulate. He was on the swing, he came in the chair. We took breaks, and like a lot of the things I tell parents and caregivers that I've learned, it's not from a textbook. It's honestly just from learned experience from different kids, you know? So it's like I figured this child needed 10 times he needed to cut his hair, and then we took a break. And then we also did the sensory brush. So all that to say, we got that haircut done in like 30 or 35 minutes. First couple of minutes were tough, but then we got into that routine. So it's been a humbling experience. I'll be honest, there are some haircuts that we're able to do, but to my standard, I'm like, ah, man, I wish I could have done this differently. But to see the second time around, I'm sweating. It's like an hour and a half to get it done. And then the next time, it's 30
Yeah,
minutes, you know what I mean? It's so cool to
that's
see.
amazing.
Right. And in our field with speech therapy, it's like, okay, this kid or this adult is recalling things that we've been working on using recall strategies to see that. Obviously, we know therapy works, but to see it firsthand and to see that second visit, I mean, they just walk in and sit on the chair. So it's been so rewarding. I'm still learning, just like speech therapy, I'm learning every day, but it's been so fun. It's so fun.
I love, like, truly, as a mother who has had to hold her child, tether his head down to my chest just to get his hair cut, those parents are probably so thankful. even if it's not to your standard, you're probably changing those lives. And so
Yeah.
you said you had a employer, a clinic that was supporting you. So are you doing these now where you're working, or are you renting a chair somewhere and doing them somewhere else?
I now work at a place, it's super cool. I do Monday through Thursday at the clinic, speech therapy. Some Wednesdays or like Thursdays when I'm off early, I'll see clients here at the clinic. And I have an upstairs room where the barber chair, the whole nine. I'll have to post like an Instagram story of it. It's a pretty sweet setup. About 50% of the time I see kids here, and then the rest of the time I'll go out in Atlanta. And I'll preface like, you know, for a parent out there that lives in Atlanta, Georgia, love to see them, would love to go out there, but I do try to schedule if it's an hour away, at least three or four kids in that area. You get
Your
it.
your
It's
time
a
is
business,
valuable. Yeah. Okay, so many questions. Do you have a barber's license then?
I do not. I do
Then
not.
shh, do I have to cut this? How are you getting away with this?
So I have the only thing I read up on Georgia's regulations. So I can still cut hair with taxes and all that stuff. Like I've figured out it's still going to the singing SLP, which I
Yeah.
put in my business. But for cutting hair, if I was to go to Ohio into a barber and say like, hey, bring your son here at the salon so I can cut his hair, that's a big no-no. So that's the only thing. I do want to get to a point where I do have a license. I could do events where I can go in a
Yeah.
salon, but for the most part, yeah, it has to be at their home, or because
Okay.
just think of it like I was to cut my cousin's hair and he paid me.
Right.
Yeah, I just can't go to a salon. If
Okay.
you
And
know the government comes after me after this episode, I don't know.
so I can leave that all in. It's okay. I can
You
cut it.
can, yeah.
Okay. So these people are also paying you, right? You're charging for your time, or are you doing it for free?
I
Okay.
charge.
Okay, good.
There, I do want to get to a point where I'm doing free haircuts. There's a lot of people like big barbers. I watch a lot of barber videos, obviously, in the Atlanta area that do free haircuts, and I would love to do that. Coming out of grad school, I
Yeah.
definitely don't have the money to
That's
do
a
that.
good nonprofit down the road. Where you
For
could
sure.
do fundraising events. Who wouldn't give money for something like that? I mean, I'd send
No,
money.
you're right. You're
It's
right.
amazing.
Thank
So
you.
good.
It's playing detective work. I mean, us as speech therapists, we are constantly playing detective work. And I think that's why I love the music integration, but I especially love the sensory haircuts. Every person is different, and I got to figure out if this thing doesn't work out, what can I do? Like, I just did a haircut for a little girl, and I'm getting better with women's haircuts. What does she love? She loves Sesame Street. So some of the countdown techniques I've done, maybe that doesn't work, but I can do my count voice where she loves that, and I'm like spraying the water, one, two, three, and she's
Yeah.
loving it. You know what I mean? So just always playing that detective work. I'm telling you, it's so fun. It's so fun for
Yeah.
me.
And so, for anyone who hasn't seen him doing that count voice, head over to Instagram immediately, press pause, go over and listen to it, because
Yeah.
it's hilarious. It's
Thank
amazing. I showed it to my
you.
husband last night. He's like, "What's going on?" I'm like, "This is speech therapy with kids. You didn't marry this person. Like this, I tried it. It didn't work out for anyone." So.
That's
That is
hilarious.
that he has never heard me make a voice when reading to my children.
Just straight.
Kids are not my jam. They're
No,
just not.
I feel you. I feel you.
Yeah. Once I found my dementia calling, that was it. I was all in. Dementia is my jam. Yeah,
No, that's
dementia
awesome.
and rusty throats. I own a fees business too, so I love doing endoscopy. I love fees. Love dementia kids. No, thank you. So if some of these people are your clients, does this fall into the IADL category? Can you write goals for this? Still in the sensory haircut thing, by the way, not the music. Do you ever have goals so they can get to that point where they could get a haircut? Do you incorporate both in your practice, I guess?
Yeah, that's good. I think I've always wanted to open up a speech therapy clinic alongside a sensory barber shop. For that side, that sensory barber side, I think I would write goals. Kevin Jr. comes in, and he can acclimate to this sound for 30 minutes or whatever, even if he doesn't get his hair cut. But for the speech therapy right now, I think our occupational therapists, they write it up. Not necessarily like haircuts, but a sensory brush or even brushing their hair. Because sometimes I have a lot of kids that won't even let you touch their hair. So OTs write that up. I think the closest goal I'll have is a social emotional goal. I leave that to the OTs, and then when they come in, I'll help regulate and try my best with all the sensory strategies I have.
So I don't have a lot of money, but down the road when you're ready to start that clinic, if it appears online that I have money, reach out, I'll invest.
All right, and thank
I will invest in that concept because I think it is so good. So good.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so let's circle back to the music. I know there's a lot of controversy about music therapists and encroachment. Are you familiar with any of this?
Actually, no. Educate me.
Kevin.
Educate me. Yeah. Tell me more.
I mean, I don't know if I know enough. I think it's very similar to ABA and encroachment. Are you following that saga?
Well, yeah.
Okay. Or occupational therapy and dysphagia, where in some adult companies, some adult rehab companies are making their OTs treat dysphagia. So basically, our codes aren't protected in speech pathology like they are in physical therapy. So in physical therapy, the Physical Therapy Membership Association has done a very good job protecting the CPT billing codes. Years ago, there was some encroachment, especially with chiropractors who would do these exercises in office after adjusting their patients. And they were using the codes that physical therapists use to bill. And so the Physical Therapy Association did a very good job of protecting those codes. So the only people who can bill those codes are physical therapists. So now if a chiropractor wants to offer those exercises and those services, they have to employ a physical therapist to bill the codes if they want to make money. So that's encroachment when other people are weaseling their way into our profession. And so the same thing is happening with dysphagia. It's happening with ABA and language and with music. There is a place in this world for music therapy, absolutely. When my mom was in the ICU recently, there is a music therapist that came by her room and said, "Hey, I'm a music therapist." My mom was like, "No, thank you, ma'am." I was like, "Wait, I want that. Come back."
Right.
Wasn't there for me. But when they're using that therapy in order to bill and make money to improve speech and language, they are not trained speech and language experts. They shouldn't be using our codes to bill those things. So that's the same thing that's going on, I think, much more heavily with ABA. And then again, in the adult medical world, it's happening a little bit with dysphagia, but I know it's happening with music therapists too. So I wondered if you...
Okay.
But if you don't know about it, you should not give a public opinion on this podcast because I will get so many emails about how incorrect we are, then I'm gonna forward them to you.
No, I mean, thank you for educating me. The music part, that's interesting. That's definitely interesting.
So it's really something that Asha has not done a very good job of for our profession is protecting how we make money as therapists. Right. And I know in these areas, and I'm hopeful soon-ish that I'm going to have someone in the ABA space come talk about this too and what needs to be done to start protecting these codes. I've always felt like it's an area where Asha can advocate effectively. This isn't state by state. This is a big, almost like Medicare kind of, and they don't do it. It is a project they could take on and just haven't. And I don't think anyone understands why. So maybe someday Fix SLP will do that. But man, right now I'm struggling just getting podcasts out on time. I know there's been a lot of fear and concern coming from students and CFs and new grads about what has been happening in this profession as it relates to the CCC and ASHA. Yeah. So as a younger SLP who's maybe still has some rosy glasses on, I know you've been following Fix SLP. You said yes to coming on this podcast. So tell me, what are your thoughts about what's going on?
I think initially, I mean, so I'll give the listener some background. If you don't know me, I'm Black. So I think one of the first things that perked up to me with the price increase, I immediately thought, wow, there goes more recruitment for Black and Browns. And I know some listeners may be like, oh, why is this about? And I've seen a couple posts and comments where viewers will be like, why is this a Black thing? But I think it has to be a Black thing around everything because there you just don't see any Black SLPs. And I think with the fear, when I was getting into the field, there was always a constant fear of, oh man, maybe, you know, my classmates think that I'm getting special privileges to meet, you know, a quota or something like that. And it sounds unreasonable, but it's just my thought. It's just how I've been
Yeah.
raised to always be on alert. So again, with the price increase, is like, oh man, I've been lucky and I've been privileged to have my parents raise me in a middle income family, and I was able to have jobs to support myself, to go to school and all this. But what's that to say with a lot of the population, the Black population that lives in poverty? And even though the scholarships that we may have, that doesn't take us into our jobs. I just finished my CF about a year ago. I don't have that price increase until next year, if that makes sense, because
Oh,
it
because
doesn't.
you're in their special 2-year
Yeah.
package.
Yeah. But so I hate to hate to
You
make
got
people,
roped in.
but I was mad for all of y'all. I was pissed because I feel like we all have this fear of speaking up, and I'm so glad you have created this page because a lot of people have asked me, like, well, aren't you scared of like what could happen? But if nothing is done or nothing has changed, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be the recruitment of 90% of the field, which is white, and the kids that I work with, they won't be like, oh, wow. You know, someone that looks like me. And I'm telling you, girl, when I hear that, it's so humbling and encouraging to walk alongside this Black male I have that looks like me and I can support him. And so anyway, yeah, I was initially very, very mad just because of all the hard work. And, you know, my parents have always raised me as like, you have to work 10 times as hard just to get be looked at or to get that job. So now it's like, all right, I got to work 20 times as hard to make up for that money. So that was the first initial thoughts, the money part, because it still upsets me to this day. I mean, yeah.
I'm glad you said something because that's something that we've been aware of since this platform started. And then when the price increase happened, there's definitely a race element to this. And two white women and white faces can't really talk about that. And then we'll be trying to, you know, there's all this controversy. So I'm glad you brought it up. And full disclosure, Kevin and I did not have an agenda. There was no pre-discussion. And so I'm glad that you brought it up because it's important to talk about. It's something that needs to continue to be highlighted on this platform, but I'm not the person to do that. So I thank you for speaking to that because it is so important. And
Oh,
I
and
don't.
sorry to cut you off.
Oh, go
Do you
ahead.
mind if I, because
Yeah,
I'm
keep
gonna
going.
forget this. Thinking about just young grad student, not Black or Brown, just the young grad student. I was a leveler. So at Radford, they had a program where my background was in exercise science and psychology. So I applied to the field and I was admitted into their 3-year program. The first year, I do all their prereqs. So different colleges call it a different name, but I was a leveler. So I didn't know a lot about speech. I knew that I liked it. I knew that, you know, speech therapists work on articulation, but I didn't know it was as expansive as dementia, feeding, all that stuff. So you think about myself coming from Johns Creek, Georgia, a good part of Georgia, and all the resources, but I didn't have a clue about speech therapy until I shadowed and did all this stuff. So you take me, educated man, and you compare that to we can bring in the diversity piece. You bring in another Black man, and we're the city of Atlanta, who never hears about a speech therapist. And I think that's the thing that really ticks me off about Asha. I mean, I'm telling you, it took me 23 years until I talked with someone else about speech therapy to a sense where, okay, I understand what a speech therapist is. 23 years. So if I don't have those resources, I'm already behind. And then when it comes to, I mean, I'll just say, I feel like it's manipulation when it comes to the student plans and like the payments of ASHA fees. I was in grad school and I was like, okay, well, I guess we have to pay for this. And I thought $225, I thought that was a discount. I was like, oh, that's a pretty good steal. And now I'm looking at it and paying bills. What? That is manipulation in its finest. And I just feel for all the younger grad students because they don't have these resources. And myself, I'm not a reader. I'm not about to read through all the things that Asha has for us. Because too, when I went to Asha, I don't know, if I'm going to be paying this much for a ticket, I should be pampered to the max. I didn't feel that. So yeah, that was another thing that ticked me off. Just the education behind what they're doing. It's so complex to find this page on Asha or to find this resource. And so to educate, you know, a 13-year-old or 14-year-old on like, oh, you want to be a speech therapist? Like, why is it so easy for them to find resources on WebMD or to be a doctor? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that piece definitely ticks me off too. It's the manipulation.
There's so much, like, so much.
All right, let's increase these numbers because we're going to now, for these $30 here, we're going to do this. No, I didn't ask for that. I didn't ask for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
as a student and a CF, did you know that the CCC was optional?
No. And that's the thing. It almost to a point, it was required. That was the language. And that's not, again, to Radford, no, like, like, that was the education behind second years I was talking to, like, it was required, you know what I mean? That's the language.
Yeah.
Which
I mean,
is
that's
sad.
The culture. That's the culture. And there's, I've got a meeting coming up. There might be someone from academia coming up. Finally, someone brave enough to come talk to me about some of this.
Yeah.
So we'll see, maybe in a month or so, depends on how fast I edit and if she actually comes on. But yeah, I mean, it's the culture. And so how do we start to change that? Because it's okay to choose it if that's what you want, but most certainly you should be educated from the beginning that this is, did you think it was a license or did you know it was a certificate product?
I knew it was a certificate, but like even then the language still made me think, even again, reading through Asha, and I remember asking so many people, okay, do I pay for this now in grad school? All this stuff. There was a fear. If I don't have this, I won't have a job. And that's the super sad thing about it. That's me. And you know, I'm very particular about finances and just getting things done. Just imagine the next grad student where, not saying they're careless, who isn't as like financially savvy or whatever, and it's just like, oh yeah, that's fine, like I'll pay for that, when they don't need to.
I remember when I graduated and I finished my CF, but I was trying to explain actually to a family member what the CCC was. I would confuse myself because I thought it was required. And really back then it was, because I graduated in Michigan before there was a state license and you had to have your CCC. So even though I was living and going to stay practicing in Ohio, that's all we heard through grad school is you have to have this. Yeah. That was true. It wasn't a lie. You did have to have it. The word says certificate. And I was like trying to explain this to a family member. I was like, it's like our national license, but I don't really think it is a license, but you kind of just have to have it. You don't even know how to say what this thing is, right? Because it's so unclear.
I'll have to look at it again. Even the process to get your C's, that little map, I remember seeing that and I was like, okay, get these hours, pick my supervisor. I just remember getting towards the end and I was like, this is so confusing. If I don't want my C's, Do I have to pay to be an ASHA to get the resources? And that's why it was so confusing. I was like, well, you know what? To stop the confusion, let me just pay for it. And I think that's too where the manipulation is, because I'm telling you, I'll be interested to look back at it again. To not have your C's, it was so confusing. It was, all right, you still need to register or something. It was just so confusing. And it's like, yeah, the grocery store, it's like, all right, well, I'll just pay for it because I don't feel like going through all that.
So for anyone who feels this kind of confusion, I have not exactly put out a map. I did put out a podcast episode called The CCC Dilemma, which is meant for students and CFs. So if you have students, if you supervise students or CFs, if you are one of those in one of those groups, give it a listen, because I called Asha and had a very lengthy conversation about when you pay, when you should pay. Believe it or not, the lady from Asha said, oh, they should wait till the end of their CF so they get the full benefit, because once you pay for that 2-year package, the clock starts ticking. And she was like, so yeah, she's like, so if they end their CF in mid-December, she's like, they should really just wait till January in the new cycle, and then they get the 2 full years of the package as a certified and licensed SLP. So even she was saying, maybe don't pay right away. And so my advice was, if you're afraid or you're scared and you're in a place where you don't have to have the CCC, you actually have 48 months to apply. So you can kind of sit on it for a while. You can go through the process, get your paperwork in order, but you don't have to pay and like fully apply for it until that 48 months is up, because Praxis score is only good for 5 years, right? You take it, some time has passed usually. It also depends, well, it doesn't depend on the Praxis. Make sure your Praxis score doesn't expire. But they say 48 months from the start of the CF is when you have to complete and apply. So my advice was, if you're not sure, sit on it. If your employer doesn't require it, if you're not in a state where you need it for billing, then sit on it. And if you need to get it, then get it. But if you're not sure, you're going to be a completely different clinician from day one CF to 48 months later. By 48 months later, you can start supervising yourself. So who knows where you're going to be? And who knows what Fix SLP will have done by then? Look what we've done in like just a half of a year. That was my advice. Do it. We're not in a safe space right now where maybe people shouldn't get it because they don't have a pathway. If you don't get that MLM style supervision where you're being supervised by someone who holds the CCC, there is no way to get that after the fact, where they have that pathway for audiologists. So if audiologists are supervised by someone without the CCC in school or during their CF, there is a pathway after they are practicing to gain those quote supervised hours by someone with the CCCA, but they don't have that pathway for SLPs. So if you don't get that supervision, you are making a permanent decision. I suspect it might change. I said this in somewhere along the way, I think in that podcast or a different episode. Eventually, maybe Fix SLP will have to ch take that on, or maybe Asha will start saying, okay, we have to make that change, and they'll just duplicate the pathway, because that's all they have to do. They already have the system in place. Just change the verbiage to AUD and SLP. That's all they have to do is add three little letters to that policy. So maybe someday they'll do it, but they haven't right now. So choosing to not get your CCC is a permanent decision. But I can see how it's scary. I could see that. So you have your CCC. What are your
I do.
thoughts for your CCC future? You think you're going to let them go? Are you going to keep them? No judgment. I'm not judging you.
I think I'll let them go, because I mean, the cost really is just the only thing I get from Asha that like I need. I honestly don't get like any papers.
You're using that rental car discount, aren't you? You're getting office supplies. I see you
No,
over there with your stapler.
no. Yeah, I think I will. Because so I still want to supervise, and I think that would be a cool education for students, because I'm very passionate about a lot of things, music integration, but you see on my page like grad school advice and stuff like that. So I would love to just like have that Kevin Simmons speech therapist, MS SLP. So
If you let your CCC go, though, you can't supervise students.
oh well then
Shoot. See, that's something that we need to
Well,
change,
yeah.
that they need to have, because this is a valid conversation we've been having with everyone. Are you less confident? If you have that CCC at year three, and at year 3 day and 1 month, you let your CCC go, are you less competent? Are you less qualified to supervise that student?
Absolutely not. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I mean, there's no change in your competency. If anything, every day you're becoming more competent, right? As
Yeah.
long as you're growing and learning as an SLP, and that's the problem. You have to have been supervised by someone with the CCC to help
Okay.
that person get the CCC. That's why I said MLM, like multi-level marketing style, you have to pay to play. Pay to play. My argument is, as long as we keep funneling money into that system, it's gonna pinch academia. It's gonna hurt because finding placements are already hard, especially in Atlanta. I've tried to place students there and it is like a sealed container. Like you cannot penetrate into Atlanta. Don't even try. I had one person tell me, if your student is set, her family was moving there, and she's like, if you're set on getting someone, if she's set on having her supervised experience there, you're gonna have to start looking an hour outside of the city. So
Yeah.
it's already hard. And so people letting their CCC go is going to make it harder. But until that happens, this policy where you have to have the CCC is actually coming from universities. Ash is not saying it. So universities aren't gonna change. Ash is
Yeah.
never going to make that pathway to get supervised hours after the fact. For as long as people keep feeding into the system, why will there be any change? Sometimes
Yeah.
change hurts a little bit. I get a lot of negative feedback for having that opinion, and that's okay because as a college professor, someone who's been in academia, I see that other side of it and I know what I'm saying. I know the repercussions of that. But is there going to be a change without the pain? Sometimes
Yeah.
change hurts, right?
Yeah.
I don't have any good answers yet. Audiologists had to sue ASHA to get those changes. Do we want to be embroiled in a lawsuit with ASHA? Probably not.
No.
I'm tired. I don't want to be.
Right.
Right. Yeah, so now you have a lot to think about. So
Yeah, no.
now when your sweet little 2 year package is up, you're going to have to renew. And then
Right.
when you get to year three, you can decide, I don't know, maybe by year three, we'll have changed things. The
Yeah,
goal
you're right.
is make it so Kevin can let his CCC go in a year and a half. I
That's a
just
long time.
manifested that out into the world. It's out there.
Okay. I like
All right.
that.
What else, Kevin? You have anything else you want to put out there?
Music, haircuts. That's about me. Dancing.
Oh, you dance too?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to compensate since I can't actually sing. So,
So you're a good dancer then. Have people
I mean,
told you you're a good dancer? Is that self, like, I'm a really good dancer?
I mean, some people have said the
Okay.
kids have said that, you know,
The
their opinions
kids.
matter. They matter. Right.
The kids with all their life experience. Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Are they dancing in your sessions too, when they can, to your songs?
Oh, they are.
Okay.
They are. I'm running around chasing them half the time.
Ugh. I hope you hold on to that energy for the rest of your life.
I pray so. I'm getting some gray hairs, so. You said I'm a baby. I'm like 12 years old. No, it's showing. Got some gray hairs right here.
I got my first gray at 24.
24? Wow. That is young.
It stayed, and it didn't spread. So,
Really?
yeah, at the end, I'll put this out in the universe too. Preston says this is where I self-incriminate. At the end of grad school, I was engaged. And 30 days before the wedding, I canceled.
Wow.
And let me tell you about undoing a wedding 30 days before.
I don't want to hear. That sounds
It's a lot. And so it was after that that I had some gray hair.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah, it didn't spread. So maybe you'll be lucky. Like maybe you'll just
Huh.
have those couple little grays. By the
Yeah.
way, that person is now a speech language pathologist too.
There you
We
go. There you
don't stay in touch, but I did change that man's life. So
go.
if he's out there listening, hey boy.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah, maybe you won't get any more. You'll just get those little baby grays. You'll stay for another 20 years. All right. Anything else?
I don't think so.
Kevin, thank you for sharing your story, all the things you're doing. I'm going to be obsessed forever. I'm your biggest fan. So I'm just so grateful that you gave me some time to come on to the pod
Thanks.
and keep doing what you're doing. And when you're ready to open that barbershop,
Oh
call me for
yeah.
some money. I might not
Thank you
have
for
it.
having me.
I'll send you
Thank you
$5. All
for
right,
having me.
everybody. If you love what we're doing, as I'm sending $5 to Kevin, you can send $5 to Fix SLP. We have a sustaining partnership program. You can find out more about that at fixslp.com. And I'll see you next time. Thanks for fixing it.
Let me give
Good
you
job for
the
recording.
outro jingle. Fix it, SOP. It's a fix it, SOP. Right,
That was amazing.
I'll take 10% of royalties. That was
If
it.
only
That
we
was the
were,
only.
if only I was making money, that would be amazing. I would give you all the money. Maybe now people will be calling, like, I want to sponsor that. That was amazing. Listen, I've got this right now, and in 4 hours, I'm recording with Jordan Levan, who is fighting for my voice. He's not a speech therapist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's someone living with apraxia. If there are two people on the internet that I fangirl over, it is you and Jordan. Today is the best day of my
Oh
life.
my goodness. I'm humbled. I'm humbled. Thank
Today is the
you.
best day of my life. I told Preston, who's sort of been helping with the podcast a little bit, I said, listen, you're not allowed on when I record with them because I'm gonna like propose and stuff and it's gonna get weird with you there.
Oh my gosh,
Like, never mind that I could be both of their mothers.
it's too sweet.